Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Years. They started a church in Shepparton in 1987. We're from New South Wales originally, then we in Victoria, you know what that was at that time, you know, away for a while or anything like that. And then for 7 weeks, it was my family, a mum of four, mum and dad. The first 7 or 8 weeks, it was just us every Sunday. Thank God. Anyway, I'm going to talk about that. It's very good. That's why the pioneering idea, I can't not. It's part of me and what I've grown up with. Anyway, I'm a little emotional about all this. So let's have a look. We've got some cool things to say. We're going to chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. I started with a friend of mine, or one of me, yours, called Baptist, just because he's kind of a cool guy. Pastor Don suggested that my look is starting to resemble perhaps the John Baptist physique with my wild hair and woolly beard, but you know, if you're going to be called somebody, well, John Baptist is not a bad one to be called after, I don't think. So, Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, it says, as the people were in expectation and all were questioning their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water. But he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes.
Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus himself also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on them, sorry, on him, in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Verse 23 tells us when he began his ministry, Jesus was about the age of 30.
Amen.
I'm always curious about a couple of elements here. He had 30 years on this planet before it says that's when his ministry started. So what was he up to during that time? And what is it about this particular moment that then said now his ministry begins? Well, it's a little deeper. It's fun. So we find out as a child that he hung out in the temple. He hung out in the synagogue. In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and the child grew, became strong and filled with wisdom. Later it says that when he was left behind, you might remember that story, how stressed his parents must have been to leave the child behind. They actually lost him for 3 days at this particular point. He was just a little boy. But verse 46 says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So he was learning the word of God. Those first 30 years. He may not have known what was being invested into him perhaps at that time, but he was invested into that knowledge of the Word of God. But his ministry hadn't begun yet. His ministry begins now, which is very because the Holy Spirit. You preached it before me. Amen. The Holy Spirit came. We're going somewhere with this. Just follow along for good fun. After this, it says, I've received the Holy Spirit, those who know the word and not well, but Luke chapter 4, now he goes into temptations. So for 40 days, he's not eating anything, he's fasting, he's in the desert. Verse 4 says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, which is very important, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit. So two things, full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, Luke chapter 4, in the wilderness, and for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, this is the most underrated verse in all of Scripture, he was hungry. Now, why surprise you? I don't skip too many meals looking at my physique. I quite like to eat, and the idea of 40 days in the desert doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. But I find it interesting, that's the time when the devil wants to get at him. when he's hungry. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 29, it was hunger that Esau bent over his birthright to Jacob. We do weird things when we're hungry. My dad's about it, being hungry. Temptations come. So how did he get through this? He quoted scripture. Each time the devil came at him, what he responded with was scripture. Well, let's go back a step again. So for the first 30 years, he spent time in the temple learning the word, gaining wisdom and understanding of the knowledge of the word of God. So then when attacks came from the devil, it wasn't from what he could just sort of think about, it was something that now he now knew. What's also pretty powerful, he's got the Holy Spirit with him right now at this point. So when he's batting away the devil, no. He's not just using his own will, his own power, he's using the word of God to do that. And he's got the Holy Spirit with him. He was not only full of the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit. So therefore, one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is the ability to bring to one's remembrance. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance." This is not just a prayer thought, this is scripture thought. John says this. I'll read it again. You should write it down. Chapter 14, verse 26, John, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance." You will remember things. Sometimes it feels like that. I described something earlier that we can engage in Bible and we think it's, I'm just reading it. I'm not getting a revelation today from it. We get frustrated. Maybe I won't worry about tomorrow or the next day or whatever else. There are things that the Holy Spirit is able to bring out of you because you invested them into you first. Jesus wasn't just hanging around for 30 years and going, "Now my ministry begins." He spent 30 years filling his knowledge, his head and his heart with the word of God. So that when things could come, that's what he could quote. That's what he could say. It was within him.
Yeah, it's great.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
After temptation, you find out in Luke chapter 4:14, that he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He didn't come back alone. He still got the Spirit with him, the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 says he went to the synagogue in Nazareth, as was his custom. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. And then verse 18, it says, "He read from the book of Isaiah, he has anointed me and proclaimed the good news." Verse 22 says, "And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, pardon me, is not this Joseph's son?" A few elements to that. He's got the Holy Spirit, but he still needs to go to church. He didn't just go to church because of something to do. We see this word, it was his custom to do it. He was accustomed to do it. I didn't just decide on Sunday, what am I going to do today? In this case, the Sabbath, I'm going to church. That's where I go. That's what I do. I'm accustomed to it. He was full of power of the Spirit. It was his custom to go to church. But then something had changed about him. So this is his hometown, where he'd been hanging around for 30 years. Isn't that Joseph's son? Why now? Why now was the question of, what is this? Well, it is the carpenter boy, isn't he?
Right.
That's Jesus. He's changed. I can only figure out what one thing that's really happened here is that before those 30 years, learning, understanding the word of God, Holy Spirit comes, now there's something different. There's a change now to him. Who he was once before is now no longer. That doesn't mean he's lost everything that he did before. His first 30 years were very important for growing who he was as a man, growing into a man, coming with wisdom that comes with age. But he needed the Holy Spirit. Watch this. In this same moment where they've just said how gracious and how wonderful and amazing he is, by the time we get to verse 28 in this same chapter, it says, when they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill, which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is not the carpenter boy anymore. Here's someone speaking with such authority that it's shaking some feathers in the meeting on that day. They wanted to kill him. So powerful was it what he had to say. So my second point there, my first point for those who were writing the points, that Jesus needed first to be baptized in water, followed by the Holy Spirit descending upon him before he could begin his ministry. Therefore, if Jesus needed it, we need him too. We need the Holy Spirit too. That's number one. Number two then, he had the power to resist the devil, which was through his knowledge of the Word of God. His wisdom that he gathered from knowing the Word is what led to him being able to reject the temptations of the devil. Hence, we too then need to know the Word of God. The Holy Spirit then can bring those things to our remembrance. It's worth the investment. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is that you're able to put aside, and maybe it's just a memory verse, or whatever your walk is at the moment. Maybe you've come today, you know, I'm just here to hear about this guy, Jesus. I don't know much about him, someone brought me along, that's why I'm here today. Well, maybe you've been walking with Jesus for decades. Whatever it is, wherever you find yourself on that journey, what is it that you're continuing to invest into you that's going to then come out of you to bring others to Christ?
Right.
It's worth the investment.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit then can use that, bring it out, to bring to your remembrance these things.
Okay.
It was also Jesus' custom to attend the synagogue. He did it regularly. He didn't do it regularly. That's not quite the right word. That's why I quite like it. That Luke has written this word. It was a custom of his to do this.
Yeah.
He did it. So read the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Go to church. Go to small groups. Go and be around other Christians. So you can hear the Word. You meditate on the Word. Interact with the Word. But our third point, like Jesus, isn't that Joseph's son? You'll be different. There'll be a change. And sometimes that might be the thing that holds us back a little bit. I don't know about that change thing you talked about. I like change. I like what I am. I'll just keep cruising through. There'll be a change. Isn't that his son? Isn't that Joseph's boy? Something different about him.
Right.
Absolutely. It's the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Jesus says, he's going to be using going to the temple, the synagogue. He was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. He resists the temptation by quoting the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit bringing to him remembrance of those things that he invested into his heart as a young man. And he has a noticeable change. That all sounds very good. And maybe what you'll say to me is, well, that's great. He's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Maybe that's just for him. To which I say, aha, let me show you Peter now. If there's a disciple, I relate most of that before on Peter, because he just tries. I don't quite get there sometimes, but he's got a good heart. He tries. But it doesn't quite always go great for Peter. But he's a good guy. So as a Christian, I think a lot of us can do that. Because as much as we're trying to live a good life and do everything, we live, we suffer, and we make mistakes. And it might be, hopefully, you don't take from this that I'm attacking poor Peter through this, that he's in the Bible, and I'm allowed to sort of use him as a good example of how things can go pear-shaped. So here we know about Peter. He was a disciple of Jesus during Jesus' ministry time. We know that he was 30 years old or thereabouts when Jesus began his ministry. Peter's with him that whole time. Or close enough to it. In Mark chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus asks Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Which Peter responds, "You're the Messiah." Pretty profound for Peter to have worked this point out.
Right.
He's been hanging around, watching Jesus do his thing, and he's worked out, because Peter knew the scriptures. Now, what's been worked out?
Exactly.
He knew the scriptures. kind of Jewish custom for young boys to learn the scripture.
Right.
Not just learn it, to memorize it, to know it. So when Jesus starts doing what Jesus is doing, Peter, in his own blessed sort of way, starts going, bit of a sire action about this. This looks like the one that was prophesied. So he can boldly say to Jesus, I would look at the Messiah. Woo! Great. Just a little tap. Oh, my little boy. Yeah, to my voice, 6 months, very good. What was it? Peter, oh, you put on Peter. So Peter, yeah, he's put it out. He goes, you're Messiah. Jesus says, yeah, just give that to yourself. But you're right. Well done. You worked it out. A lot of other people haven't worked that out. So that's pretty good for Peter. He's worked that part out. This is Mark 8:29. But Luke 22:33, now Peter's really up and about. This is at the Last Supper, where he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Now, oh, I love you, Jesus, so much. This is where I'm going to go. And where you go, I'm going with you. This is, and we know the story where this unfolds. Hours later, Jesus even tells him, I appreciate you sending me, mate, but you're going to deny me 3 times. Me? Outrageous. I'm willing to die for you, Jesus. I'll go to prison for you. He was making some declarations. That comes later for Peter. But on that particular night, 3 times he denies him. This Peter who knew Jesus, ooh, I'm going to ruffle you a little bit, mate. He hung around with him for 3 years. He even knew he was the Messiah. But when the heat came on, Peter was out of there.
Right. Amen.
Let that settle for a bit. This wasn't just some guy.
Right.
He's watched him heal the sick. Back. Back. Thank you. Off. Back. That's no coincidence. I want to be silenced on this. He knew him, loved him, willing to die for him. When was the last time you said that to anybody? Hey, you out of prison, I'll go to prison for you.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll die for you. Really? How many of your mates have you said that to? That you've hung around with for 3 years? That's a big statement. But as we know, he didn't. 3 times. That night, before Jesus was crucified, he denied knowing him. So therefore, it's one thing to know who Jesus is, but maybe that's just not enough when things start to get a little bit tough. Even Judas Iscariot knew who Jesus was. You pulled out a Judas card now. Hey. Even Judas did. He claimed to know who he was.
Right.
I reckon there's lots of people today who say they know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Where a crucifix? All around crucifix. All around, Jesus. Back in the 90s, there was this, some of you who try my age might remember this, Jesus is my homie kind of thing that kind of did the rounds. Oh, bless you guys. Excellent. Yes. It's so close. It's so good. Jesus is my homie, great. He's my buddy. He's my friend. Isn't it that verse that always scares us the most? About those who say they know Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does not the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and mind works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Oh, man, that was a good one for Christians every day. Do I know you? Do you know me? Some take that one out of context and think, well, that's about works. As long as I'm doing God's works, therefore that gets me in. And so I think a misreading of this particular verse. It's just a reminder there are people out there go, I know Jesus. And why don't you quote some things about Jesus? Why don't say things about it? It's about those false prophets. They don't know him.
Yep.
I'm not there suggesting that was Peter in this case. I'm making a more broader jump now at this point. So there's something about knowing somebody or something. I've got a future father-to-be in my office. He's very excited about his wife's pregnant and all that. It's very exciting. And he has some certain ideas of what he thinks fatherhood's going to look like. And I always sort of looked to the others in my office, who have grown children, and I sort of see them sort of nodding and smiling and going, yes, that's exactly what it will be like. You know, they know what it's like to try and grow as a child. He doesn't, he thinks he does. He's going to get a rude shock one day, and the baby arrives, and everything he thought of you just goes out the window. Yeah, don't we do that sometimes? I know I don't have children, but I'm somebody trying to negotiate with a toddler. To me, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's hilarious. Good luck negotiating with that toddler. But it's fun to watch. But Monday, whatever the Lord brings, if I find myself in a scenario, well, then I'll need to know what I'm doing. Similarly here. Peter knew who Jesus was. He knew he was the Messiah. He was a witness to many of Jesus' miracles. In Luke 24, verse 16, says, "Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, the other women of whom that had told these things to the apostles." So this is when Jesus' body had disappeared from the tomb. So verse 11 says, "But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe them." But here's Peter. So at least he sees the battle. Didn't believe them. That didn't happen, but he still got up and he ran to the tomb. We can have a crack at Peter, it's fun, but he did get up and run. Just for that chance that maybe they were right.
Yeah.
Where's my Jesus?
Yeah.
And if that was just the end of Peter's story, then that's probably not so bad. A bit of redemption towards the end, he went looking for Jesus. And he found him later, and that might be the end of Peter's story. Guess not. And that makes things kind of cool. Alright, because then we get to Acts chapter 2, which I know you're familiar with. I've been talking about Acts the last few weeks. So something happens at this moment. Let's recap. Jesus said this a few times, and I want you to kind of remember it. Must be the school teacher in me. Jesus, verse 30, he gave wisdom to God and hang out in the synagogue. Baptized, receives the Holy Spirit. Just temptation by calling the word of God with the Holy Spirit helper with him to bring things to his memory. And he had a noticeable change. Peter spent 3 years with Jesus. Knew him, loved him, willing to die for him, but when the pressure came, he's out of there. Didn't even believe that he'd risen. This is the same guy who moments ago says, "I know you're the Messiah." Yet now I'm out. But he did go for a run to go see. And most importantly, he listened and obeyed when Jesus said, "I want you to stay here because there's something else coming."
Yeah.
And so he did. The day of Pentecost was about 7 weeks after the Easter Sunday, what we would call Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Now, chapter 2, verse 14 to 17, after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I might go over that. We know we've heard it a number of times, with tongues on fire, and we're speaking in tongues, etc., etc. But have a look at this Peter now.
Yeah.
But Peter standing with the 11, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter standing with the 11 lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose." Pause there. They were different. Now, the world couldn't understand it. They had to label it with something that they knew. Drunkenness seemed to be the best guess of the way that they were behaving. Paints an interesting picture there of perhaps what the behaviour was like. I suspect lots of jumping, lots of singing, lots of hallelujahs, a lot of boisterous activity. They were different. The world couldn't understand it, had to label it something, so drunkenness is the best they could do. Number one, something's changed. Ooh, we're getting somewhere, aren't we? Let's continue. "These people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." Hang on, he's about to quote some scripture now. "This Peter who ran away 7 weeks ago is now boldly standing up in front of the crowd, and he's the speaker. Not only is he speaking, he's now quoting the scripture. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles. I'm jumping ahead to 37 now. Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and watch this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness, and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is a different Peter now. There's something different. This isn't the guy denying Jesus anymore, hiding out in his house. I don't know if he rose again, but I'll go check it out. I'll at least go do that. This is the guy now standing in front of a crowd and going, hey, 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 this is what's happening. This is no small thing. And what's the difference? He's now been baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's a change to him.
Yeah,
it's pretty good stuff.
Thank you.
The same Spirit that descended on Jesus that day in those waters is here. Same Spirit that descended on that 120 in that room is here. Office. The same Spirit that stirred the heart of Captain Pedro in 1606 on the day of Pentecost, who declared that all of this part of the south, as far as the pole, shall be called the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Oh, like this guy. This is a Catholic bloke on a boat, and he's looking out, and oh, there's something out there, and the Spirit's speaking to me, and I'm claiming it for the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that stirred in him in 1606 is here with us today. The same Spirit that stirred in heart of Pastor Joel, Charles Greenwood at Gospel Hall in Sunshine in 1916, who cried out for the souls of Melbourne, is here today. The same Spirit that led that church to move to Bridge Road and be named Richmond Temple in 1925, is here today. The same Spirit that's changed lives over 97 years out of that church, with other churches planted and grown, is here today. Same Spirit that stirred our campus pastors 5 years ago. So we've gone south. Oh, you better believe it's here today.
That's good, Kirk.
Same Spirit's going to go with them. Oh, yeah. Look out, San Fran. It doesn't matter what's come. Is there a word you're going to say which you're going to put into music which is going to change lives? Is there messages he's going to preach that you're going to take that you're going to write down and go, there's something even more in this that I'm going to now put into music? Ooh, I felt that for the last couple of weeks. It's nice to finally tell you. There's things you're going to say that you're going to create. There's something that you're going to put out, you're going to take from you from us today, and you're going to walk around the same friend. God's going to do amazing things. I was going to tell you today that there won't be closed doors, there'll be doors being blown open as you walk around that city. There's things that you want to try. They're all going to be blown apart. Oh, there's a Holy Spirit here today. Don't you believe today? I feel it on my heart on my way here. This is chain breaking day. Don't you leave without the Holy Spirit. Don't you leave without knowing who he is. Let me give you this. My dad passes down to me. It's why I named Keith Warrington in the book, The Message of the Holy Spirit. I really liked it. And I'll finish up with it. The Holy Spirit is not a doctrine to be affirmed or to be debated so much as a person to be enjoyed and experienced. It's a debate that reigns. There's different denominational churches that want to talk and discuss and whatever it is. But I love this. No, he's a person to be enjoyed and experienced. He is not a powerful force so much as a personal friend. Not simply a reservoir energy, but an energetic advocate ministry to us, for us, and through us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus' ministry began when he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter kicked off into his next stage when he had received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. He moves here today. He's moved throughout the church for 97 years that we're now an extension thereof, but for hundreds of years. This same message still continues to ring true. He's here. He's available to you.
Yes.
And I'm going to give you an opportunity today. If you haven't yet received him, then we clear the space. We set us on. We've got a big open space here. Why don't you? What's it going to cost you? Well, let me tell you, it cost you something. You will change. There'll be things we'll start to tell you that will get planted inside of you. Some of you have had some of those. You put on a shelf. Do all that later. Holy Spirit's here to move today. He's here for business today. Chains will be broken. I believe they've already started to take place. I believe there's hearts right now that are itching and anxious to get some of that. I need that. If Jesus needed it, if Peter needed it, surely I need it. Surely you need it. Those last three bits. Ministry to us, for us, through us. It's not just for me that I need the Holy Spirit. It's so that I can go and speak and tell everybody the good news. It's my remembrance, the good news. We'll pray with you. You say, well, I can get it here in my seat. Maybe you can. There's something about taking steps of faith and coming up and saying, I want it, God, I want to physically move. Before we do that, before I introduce you to the Holy Spirit for something today, I want to introduce you to my Jesus first. Give you an opportunity to know who he is.
Yes.
Jesus came to our earth. A sinless life, a blameless life of God for us. He loved us, gave his life, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but also have an eternal life. We have to focus on the eternal part of it, and that's good too. But where we end up, when he comes into your life, you invite him in, you're opening yourself up to what he wants to do, be able to move forward.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.